A Simple Thing, written by Iridan, read by Marianas. Chapter 44. Alors. Din's first and most immediate instinct was to tear the darksaber off his hip and pitch it, and everything it represented, at Bo-Katan as hard as he could. She was a good way across the lake, and there were hundreds of Mandalorians between her and Din, but Din had a good arm. He could get the darksaber halfway there at least, and then everyone else could fight over it.
I can't be the Mandalore, Din thought reflexively. He almost said it, too, and would have said it into the deep silence that had fallen over the gathering of Mandalorians, if Boba hadn't been at Din's side, if Grogu hadn't been there, small and vulnerable. Din wasn't Mandalorian anymore. Bo-Katan herself had said that no outsider, no Arwëti, would rule Mandalore. There isn't even a Mandalore left to rule, Din thought, but he knew that that wasn't true. Kreese had also said that Mandalore wasn't just the planet, which was dead, or the system, which had been broken. Mandalore was its people. As long as there were Mandalorians living in the galaxy, there was a Mandalore.
And I broke the creed, Din thought. I broke the creed. That meant that Din was Darmanda. But I still feel Mandalorian. I still act like a Mandalorian. And if I wanted to be, if Din wanted, he could be Mandalorian again. He knew that now. Not all Mandalorians would accept it, and Din couldn't be the same kind of Mandalorian he'd been, a child of the creed, but I could do it, he thought. He could pick a new creed, one that he'd had a chance to choose for himself, to weigh its words and consider it against the other creeds that Din now knew existed. Din could swear to a new way, and Din could be Mandalorian again. His own people wouldn't accept it. The tribe, the Alor, Paz, and the others. None of them would accept it. To them, Din would always be Darmanda. But other Mandalorians would accept Din. Many would be happy to count Din among their number. Kreese and her people would take him. So would what was left of the true Mandalorians, Din thought. Other factions might accept him, too, if he decided to follow their way instead of his own. If Din said that he was Mandalorian, if he kept living his life like he was Mandalorian, then, to many of the others here, he would be Mandalorian. It would be easy. Across the lake, Din saw the green flash of Kreese's eyes. She wasn't smiling, but her expression was triumphant. She had caught Din, not with a crate dragon trap or an eopi net, but with a barbed harpoon. Snagged Din at the bone like the fishermen of Naboo speared an OPC killer and dragged it through the water as bait for something bigger. Kreese had worked her way underneath Din's armor with all of her talk on the light cruiser, with all of the possibilities she'd offered, and she'd sunk a hook into Din's gut. Even though it hurt, Din wanted it. He wanted what Kreese was offering him. To be able to wear his armor without guilt, to know that he could rely on other Mandalorians to help him if he needed it. Din could make a choice. He could cut himself free of Kreese's claim, announce to everyone here that he was Darmanda, and slink away bleeding. Or Din could accept what Kreese had said. He could let her reel him in until her boot was on his neck and she could do with him what she liked. Worse, Din thought, was that he didn't think that Kreese was trying to be cruel. None of this was personal. She hadn't done this to him to cause Din pain. She was, he thought, trying to help. She was trying to unite Mandalore, of course, and Din was pretty sure she was trying to position herself at the top of whatever coalition came out of this summit, but she was trying to help Din, too. She was giving him a way back to himself.
The cruelty was that she was offering Din his manda back on her terms, not his. That she was offering it for her own ends. Din had never liked being trapped. His overwhelming instinct was to spit, "Kark this," and throw the Darksaber away. It would be dangerous, throwing the Darksaber away, Din knew that. Kreese would get what she wanted either way, but some of the other Mandalorians here, the Children of the Watch at least, would take immediate offense to Din's announcement. They'd go for Din's armor for his life. He'd have to fight his way out. Din was no coward. He'd had to fight his way out of plenty of tight corners. He didn't want to fight his people, not even the Alor, who was still staring at Din from across the crowd and still inspiring a faint, prickling anger in Din's chest whenever he looked at her. But if Din had to fight to survive, he would. "But it's not just my life at stake," he thought. Boba was here and had openly sided with Din. Grogu was here. Paz would look after Grogu if anything happened to Din. He'd keep Grogu safe, or at least he'd try. But Grogu was halfway trained now, and he'd already tossed threats to Din's life up in the air, pushed them away. He had killed already. Grogu had killed a bounty hunter who'd come after Luke Skywalker. And Boba. Din couldn't be entirely sure that Boba had forgiven him for what had happened on Tatooine. That Boba would stand up for Din in a fight between Din and other Mandalorians, since Boba didn't want anything to do with other Mandalorians. But Boba had come here. He'd come. He was standing here in front of hundreds of other Mandalorians because he'd wanted to find Din. He'd wanted to apologize. "If the Alor comes at me, Boba will... he'll get between us," Din thought. "He'll try to help me." And if it was just the two of them facing off against 600 other Mandalorians, Din and Boba would both die. Din wasn't going to ask Boba to die for him. Not over this. Not when there has to be another way out, Din thought. There had to be a way to cut himself loose without sparking hostility. For Din to be Mandalorian without having to disavow his old creed in front of everyone. To get out of this alive, Din thought. There has to be a way. Din just had to figure it out. So he took a deep breath, steeling himself, and fought down his instinctive urge to pitch the Darksaber as hard as he could at Kreese's head. All of the attention, the hundreds of eyes fixed on him, shock and confusion and hostility, palpable feelings in the air, made Din want to shy away from all of them, made him want to try his old trick of fading into the background, of passing unnoticed. Din didn't give in to that feeling either. He lifted his chin. Boba shifted closer to Din's side. Din could feel him, his awareness registering every shift and change in stance, like he and Boba hadn't been apart at all. One of Boba's hands had dropped to the handle of his Gaderfi. Grogu swayed on Boba's shoulder. "That can't be THE Darksaber," a nearby Mandalorian, a stick-thin young man in scuffed red armor, exclaimed. Din eyed him. The kid was human, maybe 20, and he had his helmet tucked underneath one arm, which meant that he wasn't one of Din's people. He spoke with all the blustering confidence of a young man who hadn't eaten enough dirt in the training ring as a child. Din's body registered a threat. He put a hand of his own on the hilt of the Darksaber, his fingers curling around the narrow hilt. Din could almost feel the energy trapped in the blade humming against his hand, and something in Din's chest thrummed to answer it. "The Darksaber was lost with Mandalore," the kid continued. He spoke loud enough to be heard across the lake. No one else was making a sound. Everyone was straining to hear what would happen next. Din narrowed his eyes. He wasn't sure how to refute that without immediately confirming Kreese's claim. "Not lost," Kreese called, wading into the argument. She was still looking at Din. "It was stolen from Mandalore, and Din Djarin won it back." Kreese's particular phrasing, "won the Darksaber as opposed to stealing it from Gideon's hip without Gideon noticing," finally sparked a few murmurs. Older warriors turned to younger ones, people nudged each other, their armor clinking softly. "Won it from who?" the young Mandalorian challenged, his gaze fixed greedily on Din's hip. Din tried not to bristle. Kreese said nothing, her armor gleamed in the sun. She'd tossed Din, wounded, to the Kolokla fish. Now she wanted to see if Din could still swim. Even Speared, an OPC killer, was dangerous. They had been known to swamp fishing boats by thrashing below the waves. They still had teeth, had strength. Din set his jaw. I have to be careful, he thought. There was a way out of this, there had to be. A way to protect himself and Boba and Grogu without playing into Bo-Katan's hands. Or getting killed, Din thought fatalistically. He almost wanted to smile. Half of the Mandalorians here would probably want to go for Din to get the Darksaber, and the other half would want to go for him because it was Darmanda. Kreese had found a way to unite Mandalore after all. Though Kreese had kept word that Din was no longer Mandalorian among just her own people. Whatever she'd told her faction, if she'd told them that Din had chosen a new creed or that his own had been wrong to begin with, that Din had been confused, that Kreese had set him on the right path, had made an impression. Most of the hostility pushing against Din now was coming from the fringes of the crowd, not from the Mandalorians still ring defensively around Bo-Katan. That was good. Din could manage a few enemies at a time, but if everyone went for him at once... I won it from Moff Gideon, Din said, because it was true. He addressed the skinny kid in red armor, though he pitched his voice to Carrie. The kid had no signet of his own, but a few of the others closest to him, all human, all with the same pale hair and pointed chins, had a complicated pattern of lines and shapes stamped in gold on their pauldrons. From the Empire? The kid scoffed. There is no Empire, not anymore. Yeah, Din thought, his estimation of the kid dropping further. He felt Boba shift beside him, sliding into a more comfortable, ready stance. Someone should have hit this kid a little harder in the training ring. But instead of raising his hackles like an Anubis snarling over a kill, Din flexed his fingers and tried a more measured approach. You live in the Outer Rim, Din said. You know that's not true. The remnants are still out there. And you went up against them? A different Mandalorian, the solitary warrior Din had noticed as he'd waded through the crowd with Bo-Katan earlier, the one who still stood with patient calm, almost like a Jedi, called out. Din took a closer look at him. He wore armor colored almost like Boba's, mostly green, with gold glittering around his visor and a soaring bird printed in blue on one pauldron. Unlike most Mandalorians, this one wore his cloak pinned over his armor. And unlike the scrawny kid in red armor, this warrior addressed Din without any scoffing hostility. Yes, said Din warily. He would not lie, but he didn't want to claim that he'd gone against the Empire on his own, either. Din lifted his chin in Kreese's direction. With help from the Night Owls, he said. Then, after thinking for a second, Din tilted his head in Boba's direction and added, And with help from Boba Fett. Leave me out of this. Boba muttered, too low for anyone but Din to hear. I don't think I can, Din thought. He didn't voice it out loud because everybody nearby was paying very close attention to Din and he wasn't sure that he could speak quietly enough to avoid being overheard, but Din did shift his stance a little, knocking his boot against Boba's. He hoped that Boba understood. Kreese, also listening intently, added, We stormed Moff Gideon's light cruiser together. Her voice rang out over the ice. Her tone was steady. She's better at this than I am, Din thought. He hadn't been mumbling in the face of the kid's challenge, but he hadn't been shouting either. Kreese wasn't shouting, but she clearly could make herself heard. Most of you should recognize that name, Kreese continued. Some of the attention slid away from Din. He dropped his defensive posture a little relieved. He just needed a little time to figure out what to say, to catch his breath. Then he could get to work on cutting himself free of the hook Kreese had tangled around his ribs. Gideon was the one who drove you from your homes, Kreese continued, who shattered your strongholds and slaughtered your kin. Gideon was the one who turned pulse cannons on your children, who loosed the Beskar Shuke on your warriors. Din didn't know what Beskar Shuke meant, but judging from the furious hisses that went up among the crowd, the shouts of anger and grief, it wasn't anything good. Din remembered some of the bodies he'd seen on Mandalore, the ones that had been reduced to nothing but ash, their armor melted to the rocks around them. He shuddered, and a pang of grief went through him, too. Kreese gave everyone a moment to express their pain, and then she raised her hand. I know, she said, and judging from the look on her face, she did know. She had been there. Din had never asked her how many clansmen she'd lost when Mandalore had fallen, how many friends. But if the look on her face was a true one, not a mask she'd pulled on to win sympathy from the crowd, she'd lost nearly everything.
But Gideon has been defeated, she said
once the hissing and grieving had quieted again. She spared a glance at Din, then launched into the story of how they'd taken the light cruiser. She was a compelling speaker, and one by one every eye slid away from Din and fixed back on Kreese. The immediate danger had passed.
No one's challenged her claim yet, Din thought. No one's challenged me.
The young warrior in red armor had been about to, but even he hadn't gone for Din's throat. No one had yet tried to take the Darksaber from Din. No one, he thought, even denied what Kreese said. Kreese had named Din as the Mandalore, and no one had argued. Yet, anyway. Din was sure that someone would object once more if the gathered Mandalorians understood what was happening. Once they understood who, what Din was. But for now, they were all listening as Kreese spun a tale for them in the air, talking of honor and vengeance and Din's determination to save his son. Din wasn't sure that he liked the image of himself that Kreese was sketching. She wasn't lying, of course. She wasn't the type to lie outright. She'd rather swing the truth around like a freshly sharpened verd knife. Din had gone against Gideon to get the kid back. That was true. But the way Kreese was talking about it... The way Kreese was talking about it made it sound like he'd meant to go up against Moff Gideon, like their confrontation had been about more than just Din's frantic determination to get Grogu back safely, like Din had done it for all of Mandalore.
I didn't know anything about Mandalore then, Din thought.
Before he'd attacked the light cruiser, Din hadn't even been to the planet Mandalore. That had come after, when they'd beaten Gideon. But Din had lost anyway, sending Grogu off with Skywalker, breaking his creed to see Gideon defeated. Din hadn't set foot in the Mandalore sector until the battle on the light cruiser had come and gone. He hadn't even really started learning about Mandalore and its history, about other Mandalorians too, and how varied they all were, their different ways and creeds, until he'd gone to Tatooine. Kreese certainly hadn't explained anything to him. Now that Din was here on Kronest, surrounded by other Mandalorians who had all gathered at Kreese's request, Din couldn't help but wonder why that was. Why didn't Kreese tell me anything on the light cruiser? He had stayed on the ship for weeks after Gideon had been defeated, recovering slowly from his injuries. Din had done his best to avoid Kreese, but she'd still been on the cruiser with him. There had been plenty of opportunities for her to pull Din aside and tell him more about Mandalore.
She didn't tell me anything, Din thought.
Kreese hadn't even told him what had happened to Mandalore other than that the Empire had destroyed it.
Why not?
Kreese probably hadn't known just how little Din knew of Mandalore. She'd known him as a child of the Watch after their first meeting on Trask, but when Din had been on the light cruiser, she hadn't pressed him about it. She hadn't asked him what the creed was, or when Din had sworn it, or even if Din had been born Mandalorian. She hadn't tried to tell him anything about her Mandalore either. Why not? Had Kreese just assumed that Din had known more about Mandalore than he actually had? Had she preferred it when Din had known nothing? Troubled, he listened as Kreese recounted the battle on the light cruiser. She hadn't actually seen Din defeat Gideon, so she couldn't actually describe the battle that had raged between the two of them, and Din was glad of that, at least. He probably couldn't even recount the battle that well himself, and he'd fought it. The fight with Gideon had been chaos, and even if it hadn't been, Din's ears had still been ringing from a scuffle with a Dark Trooper. Din's memory of the fight was mostly just a collection of fragmented impressions. The Darksaber singing in Gideon's hand, Din's spear rattling in his grip as he brought it down, the hot red glow of his Beskar where the Darksaber had touched it, and the expectation of pain, and sparks scattering across Din's boots as Din had managed to get through Gideon's guard and put him on the floor. Kreese hadn't seen any of that, so she just told the assembled Mandalorians that Din had fought through Gideon to get to his son, and Din had won. He'd picked up Grogu and the Darksaber both.
Jarka, Boba said softly, while Bo-Katan went on to describe how all the Imperials on the light cruiser had been killed, the light cruiser reclaimed, the people rallied. Boba spoke so quietly that Din could just barely hear him. If Din hadn't been in the habit of being so attuned to Boba anyway, he wouldn't have heard him. Din half-turned, not wanting to draw the attention of the other Mandalorians, and looked at Boba out of the corner of his eye. Boba's helmet was facing Kreese, stoic and unreadable, but Boba's attention was fixed on Din.
"I'm listening," Din murmured back.
"Good," Boba said. He still had one hand curled around the handle of his Gaderfi.
"What do you need, Jerrica?" he asked.
The endearment, the familiar nickname after everything that had happened, made something tense and nervous in Din's chest unwind.
"You need an exit strategy."
Din, who had been expecting Boba to ask about what had been going on while he and Din were separated, blinked in surprise.
"An exit?"
"Kreese is trying to crown you Mandalore," said Boba, grim. "Do you want her to? 'Cause if you don't, we gotta get out of here now. Once she's done talking, the challenges are gonna start."
"The challenges?" Din asked, wary.
He had expected others to deny Kreese's claim, of course. Din would be happy to leave when the truth came out. Well, no, he thought, with another painful pang, a twist of the harpoon. Din wouldn't be happy to leave. His people were here. There were more of them than he had ever hoped to see. They had their children with them. Din wanted to stay with them, all of these Mandalorians. There'd be so much to learn, he thought, wistful. So many stories to hear, so many cook fires to sit around, so many victories to celebrate and losses to mourn. Din saw many warriors who still stood tall and proud, despite everything that had happened to them. Their arms were strong, they looked like fighters, like true fighters. And Din wanted to see, he wanted to watch them fight. He wanted to watch and learn and test his strength and skill against theirs. He didn't want to leave. But leaving might be best if there'd be arguments, more division. Kreese wanted to unite the people. Din was wary of what she really wanted, but he certainly didn't want to be a wedge among the Mandalorians.
"The duels," said Boba.
"The duels?" Din realized that he was repeating most of what Boba was saying, but he was still thrown by Kreese's claim. Boba inclined his head a bare fraction.
"There's not... Kreese is forbidden dueling here," Din said.
"Isn't that what Zeen Vitin means?"
"I have no idea what she has or hasn't forbidden," Boba shot back. "But this is Jorur, a clan gathering. She might have forbidden feud fighting, but a challenge is different."
"How different?" Din muttered. Boba eyed him. "Skira Khan's about settling a score," he said, voice still pitched low. "It's feuding. Your clan against mine."
"You are my clan," Din muttered before he could stop himself. Then he froze and flushed furiously.
He meant it, of course. He had started to think of Boba as his clan, his tribe, months ago. But he hadn't said it before, and Din knew. He knew that Boba was proud of being Jango's son, that belonging to a Mandalorian clan wasn't something that Boba wanted for himself at all. Boba froze, too, standing almost unnaturally stiff, but he didn't immediately draw back or flinch away.
"Yes," he finally said, still quiet.
A terrible knot of anxiety in Din's chest loosened a little. "But still, the point, Din, even if Kreese outlawed Vera Khan or Skira Khan here, she can't forbid Isha Khan."
"Honor war," Din translated, taking the word apart.
A chill went down his spine, smothering some of the warm pleasure that had bloomed in his chest when Boba had said, "Yes, I am your clan."
No, Din thought, not honor war. Fight for honor. A duel.
"Someone's gonna challenge me to a duel?" Din asked. He supposed that he shouldn't be surprised. Down in the covert, one warrior had been able to challenge another at any time for any reason. Over an insult, to jostle for status within the tribe, over positions or privileges. In the first 5 or 6 years after Din had been named Baroya, Paz had challenged Din nearly every time Din had landed back in the covert after a job, with the understanding that if Paz had managed to beat Din in one of those fights, Paz would be Baroya and Din would stay in the covert. Paz hadn't ever won, and Din had been Baroya up until the moment he'd taken his helmet off on Morak. Din narrowed his eyes thoughtfully. Kreese was still talking. She was speaking of Mandalore now, of how they'd all gone down to the surface of the planet together and had seen what the Empire had left behind. If everyone in the crowd goes for us at once, we'll be overwhelmed, Din thought. But a duel. He could fight a duel. If he wanted to. If he wanted to... What, he thought. If I want to accept Kreese's claim, if I want to keep the Darksaber, be the Mandalore. Din didn't want to be the Mandalore, but he wasn't sure he wanted to give up the Darksaber. It was useful to have around, and he knew how to use it now. He'd gotten comfortable with it. It was his. I earned it, he thought. It didn't matter that he hadn't meant to earn it when he'd drawn his spear against Gideon and fought the man to the floor. Din had earned it. If not then he'd earned it since. He had killed with it, fought with it, used it to protect his battered little clan. Practiced with it, Din thought, almost smiling. Surprised a Gratiel Jedi with it, too. If Din wanted to fight... Any Mandalorian can challenge you to a duel if you meet them as a Mandalorian yourself, Boba whispered. Din went still again. Boba's meaning wasn't lost in translation this time. If you meet them as a Mandalorian yourself. If Din chose to be Mandalorian again, if he picked a new creed and swore to follow it. And what if I'm not Mandalorian? Din murmured. He couldn't see Boba's face, but the way Boba shifted told Din that he was grimacing. If you're not Mandalorian, he said, then you're just an Arrowetti with a sword. A Mandalorian with a Darksaber has a claim to the throne. That claim settled one-on-one. There's rules. But against an outsider... Against an outsider, there were no rules. Din pressed his mouth into a thin line, thinking furiously. So if you don't want to claim your Manda, Boba murmured, quieter still. That's okay by me, Jerrica, but we've got to get you out of here if that's what you want. Because Kreese won't leave anything to chance. If you're not Mandalorian, you're an enemy. Mandalorians kill their enemies. Din had spared Moff Gideon's life. He had spared Jassa's. He had killed when he had to, but to kill needlessly was the way of the Wurak. His elders had started pressing that into Din's head around the time they'd started pressing a knife into his hands. But Bo-Katan Kreese, he thought grimly, follows her own way, not mine. Din didn't know what to do. Leaving would be the smartest thing to do, maybe, the safest thing. Din could drop the Darksaber, leave it in the snow and ice, he could walk away and take Boba, take Grogu with him. I would still have a clan, Din thought. He would have Tatooine. Fennec and Cobb, Nura and Geeta, Kasik, the Palace, the Quarter, Mos Pelgo, the Desert. But Kreese, even though she'd claimed on Trask not to be a bounty hunter, was a good hunter nonetheless. She'd figured Din out like any good hunter studying their prey. Din had spent hours, weeks sometimes, getting to know his targets. Kreese had done the same with him. She'd figured out how to lure Din in close enough to catch and then how to keep him there. She had pointed out that Din could have both. His carefully built clan on Tatooine and Mandalore, that he could hold them both in his hands and keep them if he wanted to. Din, said Boba again, urgently, what do you want? The words were familiar. Boba had asked Din that before. What do you want? He'd asked in the peaceful quiet of his rooms above the palace, with all the desert spread out below them. Din's mouth had been buzzing with the memory of Boba's kiss, the imprint of his teeth. He'd been straining for Boba's hands. Din had wanted punishment then. He'd wanted Boba. And now... I want to stay, Din said, all in a rush, before he could stop himself. I want to stay. He didn't have the words in order, the thoughts all aligned, to say more than that. To describe what it was that Din wanted... It was Mandalore, it was his people, it was deeper than even those hooks wrapped around Din's ribs. I want to see if Kreese was telling the truth, Din thought. I want to see if I can be Mandalorian again. I want to know what that would mean. It would mean a fight, Din knew. Someone would challenge him. A child of the Watch, a true Mandalorian, possibly even Kreese herself. But Din wanted to stay. Boba, to his credit, only pushed a tense sound out between his teeth and nodded. He didn't run. I'm with you, he said. The words bolstered Din more than they probably should have. Unexpected joy burst behind his ribs. Boba was only one man, after all, and if the rest of what was left of Mandalore was going to challenge Din, Boba'd probably only just condemned himself to a fight or six, but... But he must have forgiven Din then, if he was willing to stand behind Din and fight, to die. No, Din thought fiercely. He flexed his fingers, gloves creaking, and felt conviction settle into his shoulders, pressing down like the steady, reassuring weight of his armor. No, neither of us are going to die here. Not for this. Din wouldn't let it come to that. None of the spars in the covert had been to the death. They'd fought to surrender, usually. There'd been some injuries over the years, but none that hadn't healed after a few weeks of Bacta or a good sulk. We'll make it, Din thought. I won't let anything happen to Boba. I'll... Get ready, then, Boba muttered, shifting even closer to Din's side. Kreese is finished. Bo-Katan had, in fact, stopped speaking. There were other mutters and murmurs rippling out away from her, like Kreese was a stone dropped in the middle of a calm oasis, and Din could feel the gathering's attention slide back to him in fits and starts as each clan and faction reacted to Kreese's story. Din's skin still prickled underneath his armor, but he held himself steady. If there was going to be a challenge, there's going to be a challenge. Din could feel it in the air. Anticipation hung above the gathering like a thundercloud, swollen and flickering with lightning. It would just be a matter of who wanted to jostle Din first. Who Kreese will let challenge me? She was still in control here. That was why she'd wanted to tell the story of how Din had come by the Darksaber. She wanted to make sure the story of it sounded right, that it suited her purposes, not Din's. Even though he was still in his helmet, Din met Kreese's eye across the crowd. There were hundreds of Mandalorians in between them now. Young and old, tall and short, human and Togruta and Zabrak and Pantoran. Any one of them would probably like to fight against Din if it meant claiming the Darksaber. Any one of them could throw the first punch, reach for a blaster, pull a knife. But Din had Boba with him and he was not afraid. Not of Kreese, or of these strangers, or even of what the Armorer would say, what she would do. Is it true, then? A nearby Mandalorian. This one, older, his voice muffled by a dark blue helmet that had been molded to accommodate a Deveronian's horns, demanded. This Mandalorian stood near to the skinny kid in red armor who'd claimed that the Darksaber was fake, though he was far enough apart that Din guessed the Deveronian was merely an ally of that clan, not a member of it on his own. Din looked away from Kreese and studied the Deveronian Mandalorian. He was big, as most Deveronians were, and his horns and armor both were polished to a shine. Despite the polish, the warrior had clearly seen fighting. His kuta was torn in places, mended with different colored thread, and there was a dent in his cuirass the size of Din's fist. His signet was a trio of jagged mountain peaks crowned by the rays of a sun. He moved like a fighter, too. His weight was evenly distributed, his stance good, his big verd knife hanging off his hip within easy reach. He'd be a tough challenger. Din could take him, he thought. Din was no match for Deveronian strength, but had always been faster and had used that speed to his advantage against Deveronians before. But it would be a quick fight rather than a demonstrative one. I don't know how much of a point I can afford to make against a fighter that size, Din thought critically. Drawing out a fight against an opponent like the Deveronian just to show off his own skill would be risky. Kreese didn't interfere. Din was on his own then. Well, he thought, as Boba turned to look at the Deveronian warrior too, Grogu swaying on his shoulder. Not entirely on my own. Is what true? Din asked, facing the warrior fully. The Deveronian made a low, rumbling sound in his throat. "What the lady says," he said, "that you're the one who fought Gideon." We fought his people together, said Din carefully.
For vengeance?
Kark. No, Din said, because he had already resolved to be honest. Gideon took my son.
Why?
Why does the Empire do anything? Din asked, thinking fast. Boba made a quiet sound of approval beside him. Gideon had taken Grogu because Grogu was a Jedi, Force-sensitive. And the Jedi had been Mandalore's enemies once. Din didn't want to bring that up until he had to. Said the Deveronian. He didn't sound as though he appreciated Din's neat conversational parry.
I should not be surprised, then. Of course, one like you would not seek proper, honorable vengeance.
There was an insult there, in the other warrior's words, though it took Din a moment to untangle it.
He's saying that I have no honor, Din thought, frowning.
The Deveronian was halfway right. Din hadn't gone after Gideon for vengeance. If Gideon had left Grogu alone, Din would have stayed as far away from him as possible. Boba recognized the insult faster, though, and snorted derisively, loud enough that others beyond Din heard him at last. The Deveronian slowly swung his head in Boba's direction.
You disagree, Tatugad, he rumbled.
Din did stiffen then. He didn't care much that this warrior thought that Din himself had no honor, but Boba hadn't done anything to earn an insult. Din didn't know what Tatugad meant, but it didn't sound particularly polite.
Your problem's with me, Din said, taking a step forward.
But Boba stopped him, taking his hand off his Gaderfi and holding it out to slow Din down instead. Surprised, Din stopped. Boba was looking at the other Mandalorian, not him. His posture was looser than it had been since Boba had walked down to the lakeshore.
Tiongar Gai, Mandoad, Boba asked, the Mandoa rolling off his tongue.
He was making some sort of point, Din was sure, but Din wished that he understood what Boba was saying. He was issuing a challenge of some kind. That much, at least, was clear. Boba sounded calm enough to any who didn't know him, but Din did know him, and he heard the dangerous undercurrent moving through Boba's voice, the promise of violence. The warrior tilted his chin up and met Boba's challenge.
Riordan Hokan of Clan Hokan, he said.
Din blinked. Based on the Deveronian's attitude, he'd expected to hear the other warrior say something like Ordo or Awad, a name Din might have recognized from Boba's history lessons. He had never heard of a Clan Hokan before. Boba evidently had, though, because he chuckled mockingly and said,
What's a Hutinish Imperial bootlicker like you doing throwing around insults he can't back up? Look to your own honor first, Riordan Hokan, before you start questioning the honor of a true warrior. Your whole clan bent to Gar Saxon, didn't you?
Riordan Hokan reared back like Boba had shot him in the gut. Din winced. Boba had called Riordan cowardly, weak, and an Imperial sympathizer all in the same breath.
Take it easy, Din muttered, addressing Boba.
Riordan had been rude, sure, but he hadn't said anything untrue. Din hadn't gone after Gideon for vengeance, and wouldn't have, even though Gideon had been the one who'd ordered the covert destroyed. Din had been angry over what Gideon had done to his people, grieved, heartbroken, but chasing after him wouldn't have done anything to keep Grogu safe. Din could take a few insults, he didn't care what Riordan thought of him. A few other Mandalorians near the edge of the ice heard Boba's answer and chuckled. Riordan shook with fury.
At least I have a clan, Riordan spat. We've all heard of you, Boba Fett. No proper clan would have you.
Then he rounded on Din, who braced himself gamely.
And you, you're no one. There is no clan, Jaren. You have no name, no honor, and no right to our history.
Din glared at Riordan, ready to snap that Clan Jaren, such as it was, would be honored to count Boba among its number, but Boba beat him to it.
Right, said Boba, with all the calm of a desert before a sandstorm.
Right, Jaren, here's your kid back. He levered Grogu off his shoulder one-handed, scooping the kid up by the back of his shirt. The kid made a sound of protest, but quieted soon enough when he realized that Din was already automatically reaching out to collect him.
Boba, Din warned, tucking Grogu safely into the curve of his arm.
But Boba was past listening.
As soon as Din had Grogu in his arms, Boba unhooked his Gadarfi, took two long steps forward, and swung it hard at the side of Reardon's head. Reardon, at least, had the sense to skip back out of the way, but he wasn't fast enough. Boba's Gadarfi caught him at the temple, and the sound of it cracked out over the frozen lake like rotten ice giving way. Reardon dropped, hitting the ice on his hands and knees. Everyone in Din's immediate field of vision flinched. A few drew in sharp breaths or cried out in surprise, but no one interfered. Boba loomed above the downed Reardon, his polished black Gadarfi gleaming like a piece of Beskar. Din thought that maybe he should interfere, but his hands were full of Grogu, who was clutching at Din's gloves and narrowing his eyes at Reardon, his ears pinned back in a way that usually meant that Grogu was considering throwing the Force around like a mechanic tossing a Hydro Spanner in frustration. "Kid," Din muttered, "don't." Reardon, though downed, wasn't finished. He shook his head like an Anuba scattering sand fleas and snarled, rising into a half-crouch and flinging himself without any grace, but with plenty of power, right at Boba's knees. Boba, again, was faster. Another swing of the Gadarfi caught Reardon in the ribs. Reardon wasn't wearing heavy plate. His only protection along his side was his kuta, which could help break up the force of the blow, but couldn't stop it entirely. When the Gadarfi made contact, Reardon screamed. Din winced again. Reardon hit the ice on his side this time, and he didn't try to lunge for Boba again. He clutched at his ribs and groaned. "Broken ribs don't fix stupid," Din thought, eyeing the defeated Mandalorian. "But maybe he'll learn a lesson from that." Based on Din's own experiences, he'd had some of his own ribs cracked fighting with Paz more times than Din could count. He doubted that Reardon would learn anything meaningful from meeting the business end of Boba's Gadarfi, but it couldn't hurt to hope. Boba, judging that Reardon was no threat for now, lifted his head and addressed the rest of the crowd. "Anybody else got anything Jarela to say?" Boba demanded. He planted himself in front of Din and balanced his Gadarfi on top of his boot, like a Tusken chieftain standing in the middle of an Azagad ring, inviting challengers to try to dislodge him. Silence met his challenge. Din watched as the crowd shifted and swayed away from Boba. "This gathering," Kree shot back, recovering first. She was still standing on the raised platform in the middle of the lake, surrounded by her allies, her Talvode. "Is Sin Vitin, Fett. You know what that means?"
"Nzhoha Mandoa, Alec," Boba replied.
Even from the edge of the lake, Din could see Kree's lip curl. "Then you should know better than to spill blood here." Boba just shrugged. "I didn't spill any blood," he said, pointing at the gasping Reardon with the hook end of his Gadarfi. He was right, technically. Reardon wasn't bleeding. Externally, at least, Din thought.
"And it's my right to defend my Redur, is it not?" Boba continued.
More murmurs swept through the gathered Mandalorians. Din, hearing that word again, relaxed. Boba's actions had put to rest most of Din's worry that Boba hadn't forgiven him. Boba had pressed his forehead to Din's, stood beside him, taken on a rude Mandalorian for him. He hadn't needed to make any other gesture, to take any other action. Anyone looking at Din and Boba could tell that Din and Boba were clan, were standing together. But hearing Boba claim Din as his friend and ally in front of all the gathered Mandalorians still made Din's heart leap in his chest. Made him want to smile, despite the situation they were in. Kreese's lip curled up in a full snarl, but again Fen Rao waded into the brewing argument with the ease of long practice, turning on Kreese and saying, tone as mild as Boba's was dangerous, "Surely you would not argue with that, Lady Bo-Katan. You say the summit is Sin Vitin, that's good. But it is good also that some of the more hot-tempered among us know that Sin Vitin doesn't mean Mav Sai Ja. Lord Fett has established a welcome and needed boundary."
"I'm no lord," said Boba automatically, into the silence that met Rao's words.
Rao turned to Boba, and Din thought that the other man looked almost amused of all things. Din wondered again just who this Fen Rao was and what he wanted. He was of an age with Bo-Katan, but seemed happy enough to get in the way of her ideas.
"My apologies," Rao said. "I don't know what one calls a Are you a king on Tatooine? I did hear Jabba the Hutt referred to as Lord Jabba, but you're not the Hutt cartel.
No, said Boba, sounding so surprised that Din took pity on him and said, among the Tuskens, Boba is a chieftain. It was technically true. Boba had never claimed to be a chief and wouldn't go through the spirit rites with Ushib to have a proper claim to the spotted Anuba anyway, but that was how the Tuskens viewed him. Boba made and held treaties, organized scouting parties, had authority to declare war. He acted like a chief, even if he'd never used the formal title.
Chieftain, Boba muttered out of the corner of his mouth. He sounded pained.
Really?
Sorry, Din muttered back. I didn't think you wanted him to start calling you your horribleness, did you?
Boba grunted.
Rao, at least, took Din at his word.
Chief Fett, then, he said easily. He turned back to Kreese.
Calling for Sin Fatine is well and good, he said, but if none of us know how far we can push, either, there will be Skira Khan on the ice, lady, and that won't help anyone.
No, said Kreese through gritted teeth. I suppose not.
Rao turned back to Din and Boba, and he was definitely amused now. I think we can all agree, Rao added, his voice pitched to Carrie, that even though many of us may not have known Din Djarin before today, we can all say that he has a warrior's honor, Lady Bo-Katan.
Yes, Bo-Katan said, looking across the ice at Din again. Sincerity burned in her eyes, even though her mouth was still tight with anger, and Din lost his footing in the conversation again, taken aback.
He does.
Din didn't understand. If Kreese wanted to set Din up, if she wanted to name him Mandalore and target to all the others here, it would make more sense for her to claim that Din had no honor at all. It would make more sense for her to denounce him as Darmanda. But she hadn't yet, and looking at her, Din was starting to believe that she wouldn't. Din didn't know how to make sense of that, how to reconcile it with everything he knew of her, of what she wanted.
She can't really mean to make me Mandalore, Din thought. She knows that I can't be.
But he couldn't figure out what Kreese was doing otherwise. She had Din caught, had him thrashing at the end of a harpoon, spilling blood in the water. But if she was trying to bait Din into revealing that he wasn't Mandalorian himself, Din couldn't see how she was doing it.
Forgive me, Kreese added, nearly knocking Din over in surprise. I would not want this summit to become a place without honor.
Fett, Chief Fett, she corrected, grimacing like the title burned her tongue, is right to accept a challenge to his honor or that of his redour.
Her eyes flashed again.
There it is, Din thought. She'd put a slight emphasis on the word challenge.
Boba was right. Mindless fighting, old grudges won't be tolerated here. But a direct challenge to someone's honor.
Reardon had insulted Din and Boba's honor both. Boba, and Din himself, Din supposed, though Boba had beat him to it, had been allowed to answer.
She's not making a concession for Boba, Din realized. She's making sure that this gathering's going to go the way she wants it to.
Kreese wanted someone to challenge Din. He couldn't tell yet whether or not she wanted Din to win or not, but she'd set him up like this for a reason. Her words weren't lost on the rest of the Mandoade either. The crowd shifted again, a new energy rippling among the loosely gathered clans.
You say you went against the Empire for your son, a new voice called.
Din turned his head to find another one of the Mandalorians near the scrawny kid who'd spoken out earlier. This one a fully grown warrior with dark gray armor, taking a step forward. This one was human. He had white blonde hair and strange pale eyes, a narrow face, a scar across his forehead. Unlike the kid, this Mandalorian had a signet. The complicated geometric pattern of it laid into his pauldrons with some kind of gold metal inlay.
But why did the Empire take your son in the first place? The Mandalorian continued loudly.
Why does it matter to you? Din asked, moving to intercept Boba before Boba could round on this warrior, too. Din didn't recognize him.
From the color of his hair, the look of his face, Din would guess that this warrior and his clan had come from Mandalore, but Din didn't know him or his signet. The challenger cocked his head. "Is that creature?" he said, looking at Grogu, who was still tucked safely into the crook of Din's arm. "Your son." "He's not a creature," Din shot back, taking an immediate and firm dislike of this Mandalorian. "Are all native-born Mandalorians this rude?" Din thought, surprised by the disdain in the other Mandalorian's strange eyes. His surprise was quickly giving way to anger, the cold kind that crept through Din's chest and stiffened his back, that made his hand drift automatically for the hilt or handle of a weapon. The fingertips of Din's glove brushed against the darksaber. The strange-eyed Mandalorian saw it. His expression narrowed. "His name is Grogu," Din continued, lifting his voice to match the volume of the other man. "And he is my son." The Mandalorian laughed. "He can't be," he said. "You mean to convince me that something like that will grow into something like you? Are you not a man underneath your armor, Din Djarin?" Something in the stranger's tone reminded Din of Ren's crew. Mayfeld, Xian, and Berg all ringed around him, demanding to see Din's face. "He's my kid," Din repeated coldly, his fingers curling around the darksaber. "And if you've got a problem with that..." "A foundling," Paz cut in from the other side of the ice, his big voice rolling over the crowd, "is as Mandalorian as their parent, no matter who they were before their finding." The strange-eyed Mandalorian scoffed, turning away from Din for a second, but an angry rumble of agreement came from Paz's corner of the summit, and from other corners, too, even from the center of the lake where Kreese and her people still stood. "The sister Saxon adopted Torig," Din thought. "Veshak Boroya is a Twi'lek. Kreese's people, some of them take in foundlings too, and not just human ones." "Well said," Fenrau added, jumping in again. He had come closer to Din, shouldering his way through the other clans. A handful of other Mandalorians, some human and some not, were trailing close behind Rao. "His clan?" Din wondered. "Foundlings have always been Mandalorian," Rao said. "Always, Aiken Anson, no matter what your father told you." Aiken Anson, another clan name Din didn't recognize, puffed up like an offended lothcat. "My father was the Prime Minister of Mandalore," he growled. "And he died a traitor to Mandalore as well as an idiot," Bo-Katan chimed in. Din glared. He was confused by the coalition that had formed around him. Kreese, Rao, and Paz, who'd never met Kreese or Rao before coming to Crownest, against Aiken Anson, but Din was grateful for it anyway. Din's place among the Mandalorians was up for some debate. Grogu's wasn't. "Regardless," Rao said, at the edge of the ice now. He eyed Anson with distaste. "The Lady Bo-Katan's point, and Paz Vizsla's point, is true. Many clans have taken in foundlings, and the law is always clear. A foundling named to a Mandalorian parent is as much Mandalorian as a child born to one." A rumble of agreement swept over the crowd. Anson was in the minority, apparently. That was good. That was a relief. "That thing's your son, then," Anson spat, rounding on Din again. His eyes glittered. "But you didn't answer my question, did you? Why was an Imperial Moff after your son? You are no one. You were not among the people on Mandalore." "No," Din said coldly, his temper spiking again, sharp as a shard of ice. "I am a foundling, too." Din didn't have a clan like Clan Anson or Clan Kreese. He didn't even have a claim to an old Mandalorian clan, not like Paz did. Din had only ever had his own name. It hadn't mattered down in the covert. All of them had been outcasts or foundlings, the last remnants of great clans shattered by war. Better to be no one, the Armorer had said so long ago. The Empire had been looking for Vizslas and Skiradas after all. Din Djarin had been unknown to the Empire, and that had helped keep him safe. "A foundling," Anson repeated, sneering. "And yet the Empire decided to target your family personally. Why?" Because, Kree said before Din could gather his thoughts enough to respond, his son is a Jedi. The effect of her words was immediate. Din stiffened and tucked Grogu closer to his chest, confirming what she said without even saying anything, and some of the clans gathered near Din reared back in shock and anger. A Jedi, Din heard. He turned and caught sight of a lean Mandalorian in flashy gold and blue armor. The Jedi are our enemies. Were our enemies, Taran Eldar, one of Kree's Night Owls, corrected loudly. My son is a child, Din snapped, pointing the words at Anson first. He needed to regain control of the situation before Kree's could throw another Hydrus banner into the works. Din was convinced now that Kree's was trying to get someone to challenge Din. She wanted a fight. She'd figure that Din wouldn't shed blood over an insult to his honor, but a threat to Grogu was something else. Din couldn't let a threat like that go unanswered. He isn't anyone's enemy, Din continued. And you should speak for yourselves, one of the white and red armored Mandalorians added, the words aimed at Eldar and the gold and blue Mandalorian both. The Jedi aren't my enemies. There aren't enough Jedi left to worry about either, Rao cut in, seizing control of the argument again. He was less successful this time than he'd been before. Angry mutters still buzzed through the crowd like Kirik flies beginning to swarm. Din appreciated Rao's efforts anyway. If Anson, or any other warrior present, had said another word against Grogu, Din would have been sorely tempted to start swinging the Darksaber around on Grogu's behalf. Is this how other Mandalorians behave? Din wondered angrily. No one's come out and challenged me to a clean spar. They've attacked my kid, my honor. They've attacked Boba. That's not the way. In the covert, if one Mandalorian had had a problem with another, they had issued their challenge and gone to settle it in the sparring ring. It had been clean, straightforward. Painful sometimes, but at least when Paz had had a problem with Din, he'd said it, instead of taking it to another warrior to whisper about it. To insinuate, to offer peace with one hand and a knife with the other. The creed was wrong, Din thought. It leaves no room for mistakes. But it doesn't leave much room for this, either. The Jedi, Anson started hotly, rounding on Rao. But Din had had enough. He wasn't going to play Kreese's games like this. That's enough! Din said, putting as much of an Allure's ringing tone into the words as he could. Din had never been an Allure. He'd never led his covert. But he must have gotten the tone right, because Rao and Anson, everyone near them, stopped arguing and turned to look at Din. Din looked at Anson. If you have a problem with me, Din said, you're welcome to settle it. The angry muttering in the crowd started to drop off. Anson stared at Din. Are you issuing a challenge? He said, almost incredulous, like he hadn't expected Din to show the spine to stand up against him. You? A clanless nobody from nowhere of importance? Do you even know how a challenge is fought among honorable warriors?
Where I come from, it's pretty straightforward, Din told him. Honorable warriors fight. Cowardly ones talk.
Anson flushed, ugly splotches of color appearing high on his thin cheeks.
Nice, Boba murmured appreciatively, edging out from behind Din.
Patu, Grogu agreed. He patted Din's gauntlet in a show of solidarity.
Anson stared at Din for a long second. Now he was looking at Din as one warrior sized up another. Now Anson was noticing the bright shine of Din's Beskar, the spear at his back, the knives in his boots. The holes in Din's cloak that spoke of missed blaster bolts, the scuffs and mended tears in Din's kuta left by knives and shrapnel. Din let him look. No one interfered. Din's challenge had been set. It was up to Anson to decide if he wanted to back up his words with his fists, now, with his blaster or his Verd knife. The high spots of color on Anson's cheeks hadn't faded. He looked away from Din then, back at his clan, but none of them stepped up to help him, not even the spotty kid. Anson licked his lips. "Aye," he started. But before he could accept Din's challenge or back off in disgrace, a new voice, a familiar one, though Din hadn't heard it aloud in over a year, even though he heard it in his memory all of the time, rose over the frozen lake. "Din Djarin," the armorer said, her voice rising through the air as clearly as struck Beskar. Even among Mandalorians who didn't follow her way, she had a powerful presence. Clans and factions shifted out of her way, giving Din a clear line of sight to where she stood on the outskirts of the crowd, her golden armor glittering in the light of Cronest's sun. Two other Mandalorians braced her on either side. Din knew them, too. One was Wirren, still standing tall despite his age, instantly recognizable by his tall, narrow frame and his armor in its shades of pale green and teal. And the other was Annika. Din's knees shook. "They're alive," he thought, joy bubbling up through his chest like blood from a wound. "They're alive. They made it. Wirren, Annika." Din wanted to go to them. He wanted to take them by their forearms. He wanted to let Wirren scruff the back of Din's neck like a loth wolf scruffing a favorite cub. He wanted to press his helmet to Annika's, wanted to ask her what had happened, how she was, how she'd survived the fall of the covert. Din had thought that they had died, that he had brought their deaths to them. But he hadn't. They were here. He didn't move. Paz had been talking to the Allure earlier. Din hadn't seen Wirren and Annika then, but he had to assume that the Allure knew now that Din was Darmanda. Paz wouldn't have lied to her. Din tried to swallow around his grief and only halfway managed it. The rest stuck hard in his throat. The other clans and tribes and creeds between Din and the Armorer shifted aside, giving her a wide, respectful berth. Din made himself lift his head. He made himself meet her gaze. Even standing 50 feet back from her, Din could feel the force of her personality, her measured, remote calm as bright and untouchable as a star. The Allure studied him for a long moment, and then she said, "Din Djarin, I would speak with you." Alarm flickered through Din's chest. He knew what she wanted to talk to him about. Din did want to talk to her. He didn't want to hear her declare him an outcast, didn't want to hear her tell him that he had failed, that he was dead to his people. But he wanted to see her, to ask for her advice, to lean on her wisdom. Din looked sideways at Boba, pleading wordlessly. He didn't have the right to ask Boba to face off against Din's Allure. This wasn't Boba's fight. But the idea of facing the Allure, Wirren, Annika, alone. Boba didn't need Din to ask for anything. He just nodded. He'd go with Din. Din relaxed a little. With Boba at his side, Din could weather even the Allure's disapproval. "I hope, anyway," he thought. He had disappointed her before. Never quite like this. Fighting with Paz when he was supposed to be doing his chores or losing his target on a hunt weren't breaking the creed. But he had survived her disapproval. Din had had months to reconcile himself against the broken creed. He could do this. "Alone," the Allure added. Din froze again. She had been able to do that since Din had been a child. She'd always been able to understand, with almost uncanny precision, what Din had been thinking and feeling, what he'd been planning. He'd lost count of the number of times she'd appeared at just the right moment to catch Din and Paz sparring outside of the training ring, how many times she'd addressed thoughts and doubts that Din had never managed to voice. Maybe it was a leader's skill, something the Armorer had learned to hone to keep the covert intact, to keep 30-odd Mandalorians alive as best she could, to keep them from fracturing down the middle and tearing each other to pieces, selling each other to the Empire or the Haxian Brood, the way that some of the other coverts had fractured. But it was still unsettling how well the Allure seemed to be able to predict what Din was thinking. His shoulders pulled tight and the confidence he'd shored up against Anson wavered.
Din didn't want to face her alone. I'm no coward, he reminded himself. And she, if she wants to talk to me alone, she'll leave Warren and Annika and Paz behind. If the armorer was using this as a pretense to get Din on his own, to take matters into her own hands, to do what Paz didn't when Paz had learned that Din had broken the creed, at least she'd be trying to kill Din on her own. Din had never sparred against the Alor, not seriously. She'd taught some of the foundlings lessons when he'd been a child, she'd walked Din through a few punches, had taught him the way of the Rising Phoenix, but she wasn't one of the kid's usual teachers. Wirin had taught him Parbevi, the spear form, and Palas Vizsla had taught knives before he died, but the armorer had always preferred to fight with her hammer. As far as Din knew, there wasn't a hammer form she could have taught to the foundlings. So Din had never fought against her, not really. He didn't know how good a fighter she was. Very good, he'd assume, since she'd led them all. Since she had survived the Empire, too, and had held off Moff Gideon's men as they chased Din, Grogu, Kara, and Greef Karga through the old covert to the surface of Nevarro. I can fight, Din thought. I will fight if she makes me fight. But I don't know if I'll win. He had a better chance against just the Alor herself, though. If Wirin and Annika stayed out of it, if Paz and the others stayed out of it, if Boba stayed out of it, Din had a better chance against her. Din, said Boba, low and urgent. But Din could only shake his head. He didn't have time to try to explain all of that to Boba. Din looked across the lake at the armorer and screwed his eyes shut. He took a deep breath and gathered his courage. All right, Din said. Alone, then. The armorer inclined her head. Din tore his eyes away from her, from Wirin, who stood as tall as he ever had, from Annika, who was alive, and looked at Bo-Katan. Lady Bo-Katan, Din said formally, trying to copy Fen Rao's pattern of speaking to mask his mounting nerves. Is there somewhere that we can speak privately? Kreez narrowed her eyes, but Ursa Wren stepped in neatly. My home is open to you, she said, all graciousness. Din saw Kreez's expression flicker, but she didn't contradict Countess Wren. Use any room that you'd like. In fact, Wren continued, turning to look up at Bo-Katan, perhaps we could all use some time to talk, yes. Clan to clan, many of us have not stood upon the same ground since the last days of Mandalore. Kreez's eyes were still narrowed, but she did incline her head. Perhaps you're right, she said. We should all have time to talk with each other, to remember old friendships and settle old grudges. Perhaps, Rao added, his face creased again with amusement, we should take the night, Lady Bo-Katan. Much has been learned today that I think many of us would like to think about. Over an Oris Gran, perhaps? Din was pretty sure that Rao was mimicking Kreez's pattern of speech to irritate her, but his suggestion was met with approval. His own clan picked up the cheer first, but other clans followed suit easily. A feast, Boba muttered, stepping close to Din again. That's what Rao's proposing. It's a good move. Nobody kills anybody at a feast. Are you sure? Din muttered back. Boba snorted. Not really, he said. Din supposed that was fair. He took another steadying breath and passed Grogu back to Boba. Grogu went easily enough, though he did turn big, concerned eyes up at Din, and Boba accepted the kid, though he hesitated again. It's gonna be all right, kid, Din murmured, addressing Grogu. Boba's gonna look after you for a bit, okay? Grogu asked. He could probably sense Din's anxiety, the fear throbbing in his belly. Are you sure? Boba's tone was the same as Grogu's, low and worried. Din, I don't know any of them, but if those are your people... They are, Din said. He wanted to pull off his helmet and try to smile at Boba, try to reassure him. But he didn't want to give the armorer any reason to charge Din right out. It'll be fine. This is Sin Vitin, right? Do your people follow that? Din had no idea, so he just shrugged. "It's going to be fine," he repeated, trying to sound firm. She was my Allure. She forged my armor. She will act with honor."
"Vizsla thought he was acting with honor when he tried to kill you," Boba pointed out darkly.
Din huffed. "He wasn't trying to kill me," he said, uninterested in revisiting this argument. "And she..."
"If she does kill you," Boba said, setting Grogu back up on his shoulder again. "I'm going to kill her, Din."
Din closed his eyes. "You don't have to," he said. He knew better than to try to lie, to try to say that the armorer wouldn't try to kill him. Din didn't know what she was going to do.
"Yes," Boba said. "I do."
We should have left, Din thought. He and Boba should have slipped away when they'd had the chance. But it was too late now. Bo-Katan was up on her dais agreeing to Rao's proposal. The summit would pause for the day, with clans encouraged to mingle now and an Orishkran to warm the evening air later. And the armorer was looking at Din. She didn't care what Bo-Katan was agreeing to.
I won't let her kill me," Din said, looking at Boba. That was all he could promise, that he would fight if he had to.
Boba stared at Din for a long moment, clearly unhappy, and then he dipped his head.
"All right," he said. "I'm going to hold you to that, Jerrica. You and I have got some things to talk about, too."
"All right," Din agreed. "Later, at this feast, yeah?"
"Yeah," said Boba.
Din blinked hard and made himself turn away. If he looked at Boba any longer, he was going to do something stupid, like grab Boba by the arm and bolt into the sky, or tear his helmet off and kiss Boba in front of all the Mandalorians. That would be awkward. Din faced the armorer, nodded at her, then turned in the direction of Clan Ren's Great Morut and started walking. He only managed to get a handful of steps through the snow when an unfamiliar hand grabbed him by the elbow and tried to pull him around. Din had a fighter's reflexes, though, and planted that elbow in the gut of whoever tried to grab him, instinctively aiming for a gap most Mandalorians had in their Beskar Gam. He heard a rush of air, breath driven away, and spun, lashing out with the heel of his hand to shove, and found himself shoving Aiken Anson away. Anson stumbled, clearly not expecting to meet resistance. The nearest warriors, who'd all been listening to Kreese as she laid out the terms of the Orish Gran, turned and looked at Din and Anson with interest. Din seized the chance to let some of his anxiety out with both hands.
"Are you so much of a coward," he growled, glaring hard at Anson, "that you'd rather come at my back than face me head on?"
Anson flushed an ugly pink again, but he had been the one who'd grabbed Din, not the other way around, and he seemed aware enough of the Mandalorians, including Boba and Grogu, who were staring at him with disgust and hostility.
"I meant no threat, Din Djarin," said Anson stiffly. "I only meant that I'll answer you."
Din raised an eyebrow, even though Anson couldn't see him do it.
"Your challenge," Anson clarified. I accept."
"Sounds like we'll settle it tomorrow, then," Din replied, his own voice cool.
"Tomorrow," Anson agreed.
He looked frightened of the idea, but that was his problem, not Din's. If Din survived whatever the armorer planned to do to him, he'd be more than happy to knock Anson around a little. He hadn't liked what Anson had said about Grogu. When Din turned around again, neither Anson nor anyone else stopped him. Din made himself stride up the snowy hillside at a steady pace, cloak snapping around his heels, doing his best to pretend that he wasn't afraid. He didn't look back to see if the armorer was following him. He didn't have to. He knew that she was.
"If anything happens to me, Boba will look after Grogu," Din thought. "Pause, too. And Rao talks like he considers himself Boba's ally. He'll act with honor, I think. He won't let Kreese do anything if I'm not there to keep her away from Boba. As for the rest of it..."
The stronghold came up on Din quickly.
The side that faced the lake was mostly glass, and there was a large door set into it, the threshold cleared of snow. An older human man in simple but well-made clothes stood by it, and now that Din had met Tristan Wren, he knew who this man was. "Lord Wren," Din said politely. He was surprised that the husband of a clan head wasn't wearing any Beskar Gom to a gathering of Mandalorians, but Din thought that it was probably rude to point it out. The man smiled. He had gray hair and lines around his eyes, his mouth, but his expression was warm and inviting. "Ulric," Lord Wren corrected. He had a pleasant voice. "I am no Lord Mandalorian." "Jaren," Din said. Ulric Wren raised an eyebrow. "You're Din Djarin," he said. Din reached the door and nodded, pausing. He didn't want to push Ulric aside, but he didn't want the armorer to catch up to him just yet either. "It is good to meet you," Ulric said, pressing a closed fist to his heart. He sounded sincere, too, which gave Din more suspicion. "What am I to Ulric Wren?" he thought tiredly. Ursa and Clan Wren were Bo-Katan's allies, but Din didn't see what that had to do with Ulric being excited to meet Din. "I'm no one," he thought. "I'm not from one of these great clans, from one of these old families." Din wasn't going to voice that to Ulric, though, who might take Din's tired incredulity as a slight, since he and his wife were hosting the gathering. So he just pressed a hand to his own chest, faintly awkward, and dipped his head to reply. "Thank you for your hospitality," Din said. Ulric waved Din's words aside. "It's nothing," he said. "When Ursa said that there might be a chance at peace among the Mandoade, we were happy to help. What can I do for you, Jaren?" I need a meeting room," Din said. "A private one, for clan matters." Ulric didn't blink. "Of course," he said. "We have several. Do you need a guide or just directions?" "Directions," Din said, relieved. Ulric nodded and proceeded to tell Din where in the sprawling stronghold he could find a private meeting room. Din thanked him and went inside, Ulric standing away to let Din go past. As soon as he set foot indoors, Din began to resent the walls around him. This part of the stronghold was fairly open. It was some great audience room or feast hall, rather like Boba's throne room in the palace on Tatooine, with floor-to-ceiling windows and a view of the lake. The back wall was covered in murals. Din wanted to take a closer look at them, but knew he didn't have the time. He followed Ulric's directions and turned down a much narrower hall, this one windowless and lit from above. There was art down this hallway, too, smears of color, interlocking shapes. Din could hear the armorer's footsteps behind him and his chest tightened. The walls pressed close. "We should have stayed outside," Din thought, turning down another hall. "There's room to fight outside." Din's spear was too long to be much use in close quarters like these. The darksaber would do better, but the thought of drawing the darksaber against his Alor made his stomach twist, nausea burning bitter at the back of his mouth. Ulric had given Din directions to a room at the back of the stronghold. Din's heart banged painfully against his ribs. This was worse than standing before all of the Mandalorians, Kree's words hanging around Din's neck. Worse than trying to figure out what Kree's wanted, what she'd do. But Din managed to keep himself moving, putting one foot in front of the other, his boots echoing off the walls. The room Ulric had directed Din to was well-appointed and spacious enough that Din would be able to move if it came to a fight. Din was blind to the decorations, to the art hanging on the walls, to the fine little window panes facing the mountains that were cut into the shapes of Carta Beskare. He crossed into the room as far as he was able, putting a solid wall against his back, and then turned his attention back to the door. The armorer didn't leave him waiting long. He heard her footsteps, measured and precise, echoing off the Duracrete floor, louder and louder with each passing second. And then, in no time at all, she was filling the doorway, her burnished golden armor gleaming, her crown of horns sharp and glittering, her fur cloak bristling about her shoulders. She was armed. She carried a blaster, which Din had never seen her do inside the covert, and a forge hammer affixed to her hip. Even though he was afraid of what she was going to do, what she'd say, Din was relieved to see her.
She survived, he thought. She survived. I didn't leave her to die alone when I ran with Grogu. Din wanted to say something first, anything, but couldn't unstick his tongue from the back of his teeth. Everything he'd wanted to say, every excuse, every argument, dried up at the sight of her. The armorer just looked at him. Din couldn't figure out what to say to her, but he knew what he had to do. Slowly, his fingers stiff and clumsy, Din reached up and released the seals of his helmet. He choked on his fear for a moment, but pushed it aside. He was no coward. He had done this for Paz, he'd shown his face to Strill, to Bo-Katan, to Boba. He could show it to the Allure. He had to show it to the Allure. Din hooked his fingers underneath his helmet and pulled it off. He blinked, his eyes adjusting to the light, and then set his helmet down on a large, long table in front of him. He turned it so that the visor was looking at the Allure, and then Din lifted his chin. He could see his face reflected in the armorer's helmet in the black of her visor. Din had taken the time this morning to make sure that he wouldn't look awful, half-dead. He had trimmed his beard before he'd flown over to the Gratua to join Kreese's band. He'd cut back his most unruly curls. Despite the turmoil of the last few days, the man reflected in the Allure's armor looked whole, strong. Din's reflection was tired, his eyes worried, but months at Boba's side had seen Din regain what weight he'd lost after his injuries on the light cruiser. Boba's care had seen some of the worry lines around Din's mouth soften. The face in the armorer's visor was pale but determined, resolute. I know what I have to do, Din thought, and I can do it. I can. I'm afraid, but I'll do it. Din met the armorer's stare. He squared his shoulders. The armorer studied him for a long, agonizing moment, and then she sighed. She stepped fully into the room and she closed the door behind her. So it's true, she said. Her voice was softer than Din had expected it to be. You are lost to us. The phrasing made anger prickle in Din's chest like a crate dragon starting to stir restlessly in the depths of its cave, like a shriek hawk preparing to take flight on a hunt, claws scraping against stone and talons flexing against bare branches. I broke the creed, Din said. Yes, the Allure said. She did not ask Din why. To her, it probably didn't matter. It wasn't supposed to matter. Paz Vizsla told me. Din inclined his head. We found each other on Arcanus, he said. I told him as soon as I could. And yet you are still alive, the armorer noted. Her tone was curious but dark, like she had picked up an ingot of Beskar and turned it over to find an impurity in the metal, an ugly streak of corundum that rendered the whole bar useless. And you still wear your armor. Vizsla tells me that you aided him when he was wounded, that you gave him and his children shelter. Boba Fett gave them shelter, Din said. But yes, I helped him. He... Din stopped. If Paz hadn't told the armorer about how he and Din had fought, how they'd made peace with each other, Din couldn't go into it now. The armorer didn't care. Din could hear that she didn't care. He could see it. To her, Din had failed his duty. He'd broken the creed. Paz had failed his duty, too. He hadn't reclaimed Din's armor. He'd let Din go. Kirk, he came here with me, Din thought. He's still my brother, even though he shouldn't be. And she's angry about it. Din took a deep breath. I broke my creed, he said, to save my son, my foundling. The reason behind the action does not matter, the Allure said dispassionately. Only the action. The dragon in Din's chest stirred again, lashing against his ribs, his lungs. He tried to keep a warrior's ready breath in his chest, but couldn't find the room. You charged me with Grogu's care, Din said. The Empire had taken him, Gideon. They hurt him.
A strong warrior would not have allowed the Empire to take their child in the first place, the armorer said. She straightened, set her curiosity aside. Flawed Beskar was no use to anyone, after all. Once the impurity was there, the whole ingot had to be thrown away. Anything forged with it would be weak. Could break at any time under any slight pressure. A true Mandalorian would have died, Din Djarin, rather than allow an enemy to take a Mandalorian child. As your brothers and sisters died protecting our foundlings from Moff Gideon. You weren't there, Din growled. He tried to keep his anger in hand, but it fought him. His fingers were shaking. You weren't... I was alone. I didn't have the tribe with me, and if we'd fired on the Dark Troopers, we might have hit Grogu. So your only option was to dishonor yourself? The armorer snarled, anger rising in her, too. Good, Din thought furiously. He could take her anger. A debate, he could handle a debate. A lecture, though. Yes, said Din. It was break the creed or let Gideon get away with Grogu. My life didn't matter as much as his. That is the way, the armorer agreed, throwing Din off for a moment. But then she followed it with, The dishonor is not in breaking the creed, Din Djarin, but in refusing to accept the punishment. Many parents have died for their children. This is life. The elder preserved the younger so that all the future might be won. You did what you had to in order to save your son. That is no dishonor. But then, the Allure said, her voice low and dangerous, you did not accept the consequences. You are Darmanda. You should have shed your armor, Din Djarin, and gone off into the galaxy to die. But you are here. You wear the armor that I forged you with my honor, and in wearing it, you dishonor us all. I did accept the consequences, Din snarled. He was so angry that it felt as though the room was shaking too, not just his hands. He could almost imagine the windows rattling under the force of his anger, the table creaking, the air shrinking, compressed. I was ready to die. Din had skulked around the light cruiser like a living ghost for weeks. He'd lived to see Kreese's quest finished, and when that had proved impossible, when Mandalore had proved lost forever, Din had gone to Tatooine to be of some use to someone before he died. I accepted the consequences, Din repeated. I know that I can never be one of the tribe again, that I can't go to the covert, that I can't... Furious tears burned at the corners of his eyes. I know, he said, that to you, the children of the Watch, I am dead. The armorer stiffened. The children of the Watch, she said. Her tone had gone flat. Where did you hear that term, Din Djarin? Din swallowed. His anger was building and building, roaring in his chest, and it had nowhere to go. From Bo-Katan Kryze, he said. He lifted his chin again, stubborn. Jarela, he heard Boba say in the back of his head. Dangerous, foolish, stubborn without use. Challenging the Allure like this was only going to make her angry. It was only going to spark a true fight, a dangerous fight, and Din didn't want to have to hurt her, not his Allure who had raised him in the creed. She had forged every set of armor Din had ever worn. She had bandaged his injuries when he'd been hurt, she'd listened to him when he'd had doubts and had offered her advice when he'd needed it. She had tucked him in when he'd been a child, half asleep, still afraid of the strange place he'd found himself in, brushed his hair back from his forehead once before he'd passed his foundling's trial and put his helmet on. No one in the covert had adopted Din, but he'd thought, sometimes, that if she hadn't been the Allure, the armorer might have. The covert Allure almost never took in foundlings because it wouldn't be fair. It would put too much expectation on that child, would single them out as special from their peers. The tribe needed its children to grow up together, unified, and being chosen by an Allure would set a child apart. But Din had loved her. He still loved her. It was impossible not to love her. Because Din was Mandalorian, and Mandalorians loved with everything they had. That was the way. Tears spilled past the corners of Din's eyes. from other Mandalorians, Din said, his voice breaking. Bo-Katan Kryze, said the Armorer, is not Mandalorian. Of course she is, Din shot back. His voice cracked again and he fought through it. This was important. She's from Mandalore. She lived there. She fought there. She has her own creed. It's not ours, but that doesn't mean that it's wrong. That doesn't mean that she's not Mandalorian. Her way is false, the Armorer said. Her voice had steadied out. Din, suddenly, absurdly, wanted to see her face. He wanted to see her expression. He wanted to know what it looked like when his allure lied to him. All other ways are false. She said the words like she'd said them before, like she had had this conversation before. She had known of other Mandalorians then. She'd known and she'd kept her people away from them. Meaningless, the Armorer continued. Kryze is a coward and a traitor to her vows. As for other ways... Din couldn't stand it anymore. His temper finally broke, and he slashed a hand at the Armorer, trembling with fury.
Why didn't you tell me?
Din shouted, his patience gone. He had never shouted at the Allure before. He had never wanted to. But now everything that Din had thought and felt about the Creed in the past few months, the doubts, the bitter grief, the realization that there were more ways and more Mandalorians in the galaxy, coalesced inside of him.
Why didn't you tell any of us?
Din continued. Now that he'd started, he couldn't stop. Rage made white fire gather at the corners of his vision.
There are hundreds of other Mandalorians, thousands maybe, and you... I thought we were alone!
Din had thought that they were the last, his tribe, the network of coverts. He'd thought that they were the only Mandalorians left in all of the galaxy. But we weren't. We aren't. We alone follow the way of the Mandalore, the Armorer said sharply. She had curled one of her hands into a fist and gestured with it. The old way laid down by the first Mandalorians who ventured from the core and set their eyes on Mandalore. The right way. Din bristled. Who are you to decide that? He snapped. You haven't lived like these people. You don't know what it's been like for them. The Armorer didn't let him finish. She pressed forward ruthlessly. I don't need to decide, she said. Nor would I claim such influence among all of the tribes. Our survival proves that our way is right, Din Djarin. We have survived.
This planet... Din growled, stabbing a finger out in the direction of the lake, is full of Mandalorians who have survived.
By luck, the Armorer shot back. By cowardice. Do you know, Din Djarin, how many stand out there because they gave up their armor, their manda? Their bodies survived, but they sacrificed everything that they were to do it. Their spirits have died.
Bo-Katan
lost Mandalore twice. The Armorer said. First to a Sith Lord and then again to the Empire. This is who you have decided to follow? A warrior too weak to hold on to power for herself? Who now seeks to rule through another? Through you?
Din swallowed. That was, well, it was true. Bo-Katan Kryze had lost Mandalore. Din didn't know much about the Sith Lord, but he knew very well now what her loss to the Empire had meant for Mandalore. Desolation, he thought. The chalk-white surface of the planet rose again in his memory, the broken city domes, the bones and armor welded together to the rocks. Din closed his eyes. She stood against the Empire, he said. I wasn't there, but she did her best. It wasn't... She didn't lose because she was weak, because her way isn't ours. Can you see into the past? The Armorer asked. Her tone had softened some. How do you know? Because I've fought against the Empire too, Din said.
He remembered the jungles on Morak, the Stark mess hall, the terminal's blinking red scanner. He screwed his eyes shut tighter. Fear tore at him. I fought following the way. I fought like I was supposed to. On Tython, Din had fought like a child of the Watch. He'd fought with everything he'd had. He'd rejected Boba at first because Boba hadn't been the right kind of Mandalorian. Din hadn't accepted his help until after the Dark Troopers had stolen Grogu, when he'd been mad with grief and desperate to get the kid back. Boba's honor saved me then, Din thought. He fought with me. He could have left after he'd taken his armor back from the crest, but he didn't. He stayed. Din had been the stubborn one on Tython. He'd been the one pushing help away because the Creed told him that there was only one way to be Mandalorian. And that hesitation might have been what cost me Grogu, Din thought. I lost, Din said, opening his eyes. I fought like a Mandalorian and I lost. I couldn't. He choked on the words. He shook his head. I almost lost on Nevarro, too, Din said. His memories of that particular battle were fuzzier than his memories of Tython, blurry with injury. Blood in his eyes, death like a cold hand laid against his forehead. That explosion had nearly killed Din. If IG-11 hadn't been there with enough Bacta, Din would have died on the floor of the cantina. And for what, he thought. Acid scoured the inside of his throat. What would my death on Nevarro have accomplished? I would have died with my pride in one piece, with my honor, but... Fighting that way would have killed me, Din said. The words scraped themselves out of his throat. And I don't know how that would have helped anyone. It wouldn't have helped Grogu on the light cruiser, Paz on Arcanus. It wouldn't have helped Boba or Fennec or Geeta or Nura. It wouldn't have helped the Jedi. It wouldn't have helped Kreese. And crawling off to die alone somewhere in the galaxy wouldn't help anyone now. I won't do it, Din thought. I won't. Your argument means nothing, the armorer said, cold and flat. You are Darmanda. The acid in Din's throat burned hotter. By the Creed, he said. Yes. His choice of words was pointed, aimed at his Allura's chest like the point of a spear, and she couldn't miss their gleaming edge. By the Creed, she echoed ominously. Do you think that you are above the Creed, Din Djarin? I think. Do you think that when we limped from Mandalore defeated, she continued, the force of her presence sweeping Din's words aside. The pressure in the room doubled. The armorer's helmet shone in the light like a terrible star. Din had to bodily fight back the urge to drop to his knees, to apologize to her with his forehead pressed to the floor. That we chose the Creed that had seen that defeat? No, she said, half-shouting now herself, gesturing sharply again with a downward stroke of her hand. Like she's at the forge, Din realized with a jolt. No, the armorer continued, softer. We saw for ourselves what weaker ways brought. Tor Vizsla's way benefited no one but himself. Mereel's codex put limits on our strength. And Satine Kreese's path of peace, no, said the armorer. She would have taken the heart from us. Did take the heart from many Mandalorians in making them lay down their armor and their arms. Twice Mandalore fell to the Empire because its people did not have the strength to do what was necessary to win. Kreese had said something similar back on Trask. When Din had gone to ask for her help facing Gideon, Boba and Koska had gotten into a scrap, tangling with each other and spitting insults. Kreese had stepped in. She'd said, "If we had shown half as much spine against the Empire," she'd said, "Mandalore wouldn't have fallen." Maybe she didn't mean spine, Din thought. Maybe she meant Manda, spirit. "We didn't win against the Empire," Din countered. They destroyed the covert. The memory of the Mountain of Helmets stood between Din and his Allure. It had been Din's fault.
He'd followed the creed then. He hadn't shown anyone his face. He'd been strong, and he'd been willing to die. The covert had been destroyed anyway. No, said the armorer again, an odd sort of gentleness in her voice. Not destroyed, Ner'ad. Wounded, but not destroyed. Din had to shut his eyes again, tears still tracking down his face. Not destroyed. He thought of Paz and his kids, Wirin standing tall at the Allura's side, Annika shining red and bright in the sun. Not gone. I survived, the armorer continued. Paz Vizsla and his children survived. Annika Skirata and her children live. Wirin lives. Others may have survived. There has not been a gathering of our own people since the covert fell, but I have heard rumors of more of our kin. Din's heart twisted. He wanted to ask after these other survivors. He wanted to know who'd made it, who she'd heard rumors of. But Din wasn't sure that he could ask after them, not anymore. He took another breath. Is that victory? He asked instead. Just survival? Is it not? The armorer replied. The Empire wanted to see our tribe wiped away. It was not. Broken, perhaps. But you have knelt at the forge. You know that what is broken can be mended again. Unless it's the creed, Din thought bitterly, but didn't voice the words. Unless it's me. He didn't think that he could say it. Not yet, not to his Allure. He knew what she'd say in response, but Din wasn't ready to hear it. The creed is strong, the armorer continued. So we are strong. Moff Gideon could not destroy us. Bo-Katan Kryze cannot destroy us either, for all she'd like to claim our strength is her own. We will survive. What if it's not enough? Din asked. He shook his head a little to clear it. He was still dizzy with anger, but he fought to bring it back under control. What if I want more than just survival? The Allure froze. Din froze, too, startled by his own audacity. He had never dared to voice anything like that to the armorer before. Down in the covert, survival had been as much as any of them had thought to hope for. Everything they'd done had been centered on survival. On raising the kids, Din thought, so that our people had a future. Getting the kids to adulthood, keeping the covert alive, had been Din's entire purpose. Paz's purpose, too, and Annika's. Din had hunted to feed them, Paz had guarded them, Annika had taught them to fight. Den and Tosho, Rina, Wirin, the armorer, Pallas, everyone had done their best to survive. What if I want more than that? Din repeated. His question was stronger this time. What do you want? Boba had asked. What you want does not matter, the armorer replied. What matters is the creed, the tribe. Do not mistake me, she added, seeming to sense the seething rebellion swelling in Din's chest. What I want does not matter either, nor what Paz Vizsla wants, or Annika Skirata, or Wirin Breylor. That is the creed that you swore. To give yourself up so that the tribe might live. That was what we all swore when we left our homes on Mandalore. Din started, surprised out of the worst of his anger by the armorer's simple statement. You're from Mandalore. He had never thought much about where the armorer had come from, really. It hadn't mattered. They had all just been tribe, brothers and sisters. The armorer coming from Mandalore had mattered about as much as Paz being born on Pandora or Annika on Iridonia, as Din coming from wherever he'd come from before that warrior had deposited him gently among the children of the covert, Din's clothes still damp from the river behind his parents' house, his sleeves still full of thorny seeds. The armorer dipped her head. The bright lights of Clan Ren's stronghold caught her golden helmet strangely, made it shine like a crown of fire. And something in Din's chest twisted hard at the sight. He had never talked to the armorer like this. I am, she said, but it does not matter. I put all that aside when I left it. All of us did. It was the way.
The hairs on the back of Din's neck stood up.
You made the way, he said. His head spun. He dropped a hand to the darksaber reflexively and clutched at the hilt, trying to use the familiar shape to steady himself.
The Allure chuckled.
I did not, she said.
No single one of us did. The way is ancient, Din Djarin. It is as old as Mandalore. We just chose to follow it again.
Din stared at her. He didn't understand.
You came from Mandalore, he said. All of you, the armorers, the Allure.
Many of us did, she said, the correction of it gentle enough. Though many have risen to the rank who came to our creed later, there are not many of my generation still left.
I don't understand, Din said. You chose this?
He gestured at himself, at her. He meant all of it. The armor, the hiding, the struggle to survive on the fringes of the galaxy, the creed they had sworn, the solitude, the skin hunger, the long nights Din had spent alone in the black, struggling to bring enough credits back to feed the covert, and the fear that they felt, all of them, whenever a speeder had rumbled too loudly overhead or a stranger had looked too long in the market.
The armorer snorted.
Bo-Katan Kryze tells a pretty story of Mandalore, I'm sure, she said, a biting tone in her voice again. She had misunderstood what Din had asked.
I'm sure she's told you of its glory.
She hasn't.
She lies, said the armorer flatly. There was no glory. How could there be glory in a place like that? There was barely even life. The great clans were too busy tearing each other to pieces for glory. The skies were poisoned, the forests were dead. The only food that could be found was food we had stolen from the mouths of another clan.
No, snarled the armorer, making another sharp gesture, another hammer stroke.
No, the planet was doomed. We knew that when we left. Death Watch, True Mandalorian, Neutral, Ordic, the Great or the Preserver, all of it bickering over nothing. Over what made or did not make one Mandalorian, over who was right and who was wrong. It was going to be the end of everything.
So we chose, she said. If Muriel and Vizsla wanted to slaughter each other, wanted to doom the planet, so be it. Their ways were ruin. We needed something better, purer, something clearer, she said. Something simple. Muriel and Vizsla tore Mandalore apart over ideology. We found something much more straightforward. The way of the Mandalore is the only way. No one who claims another creed is Mandalorian.
She spoke with the conviction of a zealot, the passion of a true believer. Din felt it, her conviction pulled on him. The worst thing about Kryze was that she didn't mean her cruelty, but embraced it to see her own quest finished. The worst thing about the armorer was that Din wanted to believe her. He wanted to believe her. He wanted to take some of her conviction for himself, to shore it up inside of his heart, to use it as protection from the rest of the galaxy.
I did believe her, he thought. For almost all of my life, I believed her. But he didn't, couldn't believe her now.
He did understand, he thought, what the armorer was trying to say. Boba had recounted Mandalore's bloody history for Din. He'd heard of the endless wars, the constant conflicts, then had seen the result of it.
I lived the results, Din realized.
He hadn't known it, but he had lived through the consequences of the Mandalorian Civil War.
All that time, he thought, we weren't hiding from just the Empire. We were hiding from all of it.
Anger surged underneath Din's skin again. You knew we weren't the only Mandalorians, he said. And you knew there were other ways, and you didn't tell us.
Because the other ways are weak.
That's not your decision to make, Din shouted. He pulled the darksaber from his hip. He shouldn't shout. He knew he shouldn't. The gathering was over for the day. He didn't know who was wandering through the halls who might be close enough to hear. The decision was made by who survived, the Allura snarled. Plenty of others have survived. I survived, Din snarled right back. He didn't ignite the darksaber, but he wanted to. He could feel the energy of it humming against his hand. He could see his own reflection in the armorer's helmet. His expression was wild, furious. I survived. I broke the creed, but I survived. Without honor, the armorer said coolly. That is not for you to decide either, Din spat. My honor is my own. Your honor is the tribe's, the armorer said, but Din swept her argument aside with a twist of his wrist. I keep my word, he said. I help my people when they ask it of me. I protect my son. I use my armor to protect my allies. How is any of that dishonorable? You should have given your armor back, said the Allure, still cold. I haven't met anyone yet who can make me, Din said before he could think better of the words. They had their intended effect, though. The Allure fell silent, finally shocked. She looked at the darksaber then. Din curled his fingers tighter over the hilt of it. It's mine, Din said before she could gather her thoughts again and take another verbal swing at Din. I earned it. That is the creed, isn't it? I spilled blood for this armor. It's mine. And my honor is mine, too. And my creed. You can't just string a fistful of false promises together and call it a creed, the armorer snarled, recovering some. She took a step towards Din. He ignited the darksaber. The sound of it, its hissing song, filled the room. The armorer stopped moving. Why not? Din said, challenging. That's what you did. How is it any different if I choose what's best for me, for my son, for his future? Din wanted Grogu to be able to choose, to understand what it was that he was swearing to. If Grogu decided that the creed Din had followed for most of his life was good enough for him, he could swear it. But if he wanted something else... The old way is not just a handful of words, the armorer exclaimed. You speak as though we pulled it from the air, but we did not. It came from our history, from our ancestors. You would, what, follow any who looked at you and named you Mandalorian again? No, said the armorer, shaking her head. She took a step back, wary of the darksaber. This is not the way of the Mandalore. Din's temper boiled over. I am the Mandalore, Din said. He slashed the air with the darksaber and the black blade sang. That's what this means, doesn't it? I fought for it, I won it, so... The words died behind his teeth. So... what? He thought. Din hadn't fought Gideon for the darksaber, for anything it represented. He hadn't intended to win it, he'd only picked it up off the floor to keep Gideon from grabbing it again. Din had fought against Gideon to save his own life, to save Grogu's. Mandalore hadn't even crossed his mind. The armorer stared at Din. Her anger had a physical weight, and it pressed down against Din's shoulders. Din was shivering again, or the whole room was, he couldn't tell. He wanted to take it back. He wasn't the Mandalore. Claiming to be was ridiculous, absurd. Isn't it? So Bo-Katan Kree's claims, the armorer finally said. She was still staring at Din, at the darksaber. If you'd like to dispute it, Din said. Challenge me. We don't have to wait until tomorrow. I'll fight you right here. That would at least give them both some release. A fight would puncture the tension. Would give the awful, angry energy between Din's shoulders somewhere to go. It would give him something to do with his hands. He wanted to fight. That, Din knew, was Mandalorian. Everything Din had thought he'd known about himself and his people might have been wrong, but Mandalorians fought for what they believed in. That, at least, was still true. Was always true. Lady Kreese, said the armorer, distant and cold again, her passion, her conviction locked away. "Has forbidden dueling today, Din Djarin." Din raised his chin again. "She's not my lord," he said. You think I've sworn on to any creed that'd take me, but I haven't. I haven't sworn anything to anyone yet. Kreez doesn't command me." "What of Boba Fett? I hear he commands your loyalty now," said the armorer, and Din could tell from her tone of voice that she had been saving that particular weapon for when she thought it would do the most damage. Din was so angry the hit rolled right off him. "Boba Fett," he said fiercely, "has earned my loyalty." The armorer reared back like Din had taken the darksaber to her face. Din wanted to take the words back as soon as he'd spit them out. The armorer, the tribe, they had saved him, protected him, taught him, taken him in as one of their own. They had done nothing but earn his loyalty day after day, year after year. "But she lied to us," he thought. "All of the elders, they lied. They said there was only one way, and they lied." Din had broken the creed, but the armorer had broken with Din first. "Your challenge," said the armorer flatly, "is accepted. Tomorrow, Din Djarin." She cast one last long, considering look at the darksaber, then turned on her heel, threw open the door into the hall, and left. Her footsteps thundered down the hall and faded out of earshot. She left Din alone. He stared after her, unseeing, for several long seconds. The darksaber hissed and crackled. Din's will to fight abandoned him all at once. He sagged, dropping the darksaber, which clattered to the floor and deactivated itself by Din's boot. He had to catch himself on the table. All the pressure in the room went out like a ship's hull being punctured in the depths of space. Din shivered with it. "I can't believe," he thought to himself, "that I did that." Din had never thought to do anything like that before. He had never, even when he'd been young, wild, and itching to prove himself, he'd never thought to argue with the Allure like that. It just wasn't done. "But I did it," Din thought. And he had survived, at least for now. And, he thought, he had believed every word that he'd said. All of the arguments he'd had with himself, with Boba, with Paz, and Kreez, and Koska Reeves. All of the doubt, the grief, Din's anguish in the desert. It had distilled itself inside of Din into something new, something that he believed in, with all the fervor that he'd had when he'd followed the creed. Din was going to make his own way now. That thought was enormous, terrifying. "But it's mine," he thought. "It's mine, and I mean it. I mean it." Everyone wanted Din to choose. The armorer, Bo-Katan, Paz, even Rao or some of the other Mandalorians who had wanted to argue at the summit. They all wanted Din to choose. "So I will," he thought. Din gave himself another 30 seconds to sag against the table, afraid and determined. Then he bent, gathered the darksaber, and tucked it back at his side. He picked his helmet up from the table and stared down into its smooth, silver face. His reflection looked steadily back. "All right," Din thought, gathering his courage again. "I'll make a choice. I don't know if anyone will like it, but..." "But," he thought, fitting his helmet back on over his head, "the choice will be mine." Decided, Din followed the Allure out of the room, back towards the frozen lake and everyone on it. "It's a good thing Boba brought his Gaddafi with him," Din thought. "We're probably going to need it."